So I'm going to play a short video, about a 3-minute video, which talks about the basics of the EFC, and then I will go into more aspects of what we do, and I will also go into 4 or 5 big issues in Canada that we are facing, and how the EFC is trying to help by lobbying with Parliament, and also what we could do in terms of prayer, and then also a lot of resources we have outside that I will explain as well. Thank you.
The Evangelical Fellowship of Canada is the National Association of Evangelical Christians in Canada. That means there are about 4 million of us. The EFC is made up of 45 denominations and churches representing over 7,000 congregations across Canada, along with more than 30 colleges, universities, and seminaries, and over 70 ministry organizations. Think of us as a very big family. Like any family, we don't have everything in common, but we share a name and a core set of beliefs that equip us to serve the world and make it better for the sake of the gospel. Our shared mission is to bless Canada in the name of Jesus. The EFC does our work through 3 centers. Each center helps bring our mission to life. The Center for Faith and Public Life is a 5-minute walk from Parliament Hill in Ottawa. Our team there meets with MPs, senators, and other government officials to speak into the issues of the day with a reasoned and compassionate biblical voice. We have a proven track record, and because we've been around since 1964, it's a long one. We address big issues from a Christian perspective, like religious freedom, sanctity of life, partnering for change with oppressed and marginalized Canadians, and promoting the well-being of families and communities across Canada. The EFC is a highly experienced intervener and friend of the court, having appeared before the Supreme Court 32 times and an additional 34 times before other courts. The Center for Ministry Partnership and Innovation recognizes the amazing gifts and abilities in our community. We encourage collaboration between those who work in similar areas so we can all serve better together. This center convenes and facilitates partnerships, sparking important conversations about ministry in Canada today. The church is doing some great work, and we want to learn from each other and then innovate together. We think big and we produce resources like an anti-racism guide, reconciliation resources like conversation groups and guidebooks, and a toolbox to help churches welcome newcomers to Canada. The Center for Research on Church and Faith are our numbers people who dig around into the Canadian culture and our own activities and beliefs to help us understand who the church is today and how we can do ministry better. Our research is always done with partners. Think of one giant team project that benefits us all. Our partnerships have investigated why youth leave the church and how we can invite them to stay. How Canadians in our churches engage with short and long-term missions. What makes small churches tick, and how Canadian parents shape the faith of their children. And that's not all. The EFC produces popular and award-winning podcasts and 2 national magazines. We have a story worth telling that is local, national, and global. We are a family worth belonging to as we gather together to bless Canada in the name of Jesus.
So thank you for watching that video. Now to make it a little simpler and just talk about some specific policies, some points or issues facing Canada that we are trying to lobby the government with respect to a Christian perspective. So just for the record, when we hear Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, when we use the word evangelical, we just simply mean Christians, but Christians who spend time or devote time to read the Bible. And we believe that the Bible is the sole word of God. Christians who believe in the centrality and the importance of the cross of Christ and his resurrection. Christians who engage in mission through evangelism and charitable works. And in terms of evangelism, is basically just spreading the good news of the gospel. And Christians who are convicted that we must all turn from our sin and believe in the saving work of Jesus and commit ourselves to discipleship and just general service. So that is the concept. So all of us are evangelicals. Just don't want that word to, because I know that word could be a different context in different countries. So about the EFC, as mentioned before, we were founded in 1964. We have many affiliates and people, organizations that have the same statement of faith, and we are comprised of over 45 denominations, over 7,000 churches, over 400 congregational affiliate churches or churches that we work directly with respect to research and what would a small church face, what would be an issue with a small church versus a medium-sized church and so on. Over 80 ministry organizations and over 30 higher education institutions. What we do is based under like three tenets. So one, we have the Center for Faith and Public Life, where we, so basically we have two head offices. Our main head office is in Ottawa, and it's close to Parliament Hill. We also have a sub office in Scarborough, Ontario. So everything is in Ontario. I represent the EFC when we have these types of presentations or information sessions in the Lower Mainland and overall BC. So under the Center for Faith and Public Life, we are active near Parliament in courts with the government. We have produced over 30 court interventions and 110 government submissions. And we try to equip evangelicals to engage officials effectively. So I will be talking about one or two of those things, like medical assistance and dying, conscience protection, and how we, you know, we try to intervene in the court and what we could do to pray and the resources. I will mention that in a little while. We have the Center for Ministry, Partnership, and Innovation, where we unite evangelicals and foster collaboration nationwide, where we speak with different pastors and we try to collaborate with what might be working in a different ministry or different location as opposed to another area. So what might work in an indigenous community versus what might work in another community and so forth. We support churches by building partnerships that share knowledge and fill gaps. We offer training in evangelism, abuse prevention, indigenous reconciliation, newcomer support, refugees to churches and so forth. And then the Center for Research on Church and Faith, we conduct practical Canadian-focused research on ministry and social trends, studies like youth engagement, small churches, parenting missions, why some youth are leaving the church, why less people identify as Christians. The research that we have and the resources to help churches equip to adapt to the cultural and technological shifts. And the research we do is done with integrity and prayer and collaboration. And we have a lot of Christian professionals working behind the scenes. So with that being said, I'm going to start with some... So we have a lot of big issues we're dealing with right now in Parliament. And I'm going to just touch on some of the bigger issues right now. So the first issue I'm going to touch on, and again, we'll have questions at the end. And if you think I'm speaking too quickly, please let me know. So the first one, we're dealing with the charitable status of religious organizations. So churches right now, we fall under a charitable status, or certain nonprofit organizations benefits in terms of tax purposes and grants from the government and the government to be able to help us. But right now, in December 2024, the House of Commons, there was a finance committee that suggested that for the next budget, with this new government late in 2025, they suggested that the government remove the advancement of religion as a charitable purpose and that the government no longer provide charitable status to organizations that are pro-life or anti-abortion. Now, the government is not required to follow this recommendation, but it is a very serious, it is very serious and concerning that this suggestion was actually made to begin with. So what does the EFC do and how are we helping with this specifically? So we, the EFC, we made a request in March 2025, a few months ago, to the Department of Finance to protect religious and pro-life groups and to reject this finance committee's recommendation. So we did start the dialogue with the government in March 2025. We also asked the new finance minister just about a month and a half ago to clarify the government's intentions on charitable status. Well, we did this on June 3rd, but we have yet to receive a response. But we are also going to continue drafting more submissions to send to the government next month. So we are working on this concept of charitable status to ensure that churches are not treated unjustly and, you know, like, yes, and a few other words I could use, but yes, unjustly, you know, not biased against, for example. So what we could do, so right now we always continue to encourage everyone to pray for our leaders, for wisdom, to contact your local MP, to share the concerns that you have on keeping the charitable status, and to use the EFC sample letters and talking points. Now, In a lot of this presentation, you're going to see a lot of website links, but don't worry, most of those links, we have physical resources to, for those who don't want to go online. But just, and I will reiterate this again, if you go on the actual website, just defc.ca, there's a section called Topics. And even though I'm only talking about 4 to 5 topics today, they have over 20 different topics. And if you look at each one, you could actually see the most updated research or where we are. So, for example, this one will fall under charitable status, and the website would have even more things. So those links protect charitable and charitable pro-life, which show sample letters and talking points, and how would be the, what would be the best way for you to communicate with your MP. And I will show you in a little while when we get to Maid and stuff, we have like actual physical postcards that it says no postage required because it goes straight to the House of Commons in Ottawa, that you could actually write to them saying you agree with or you disagree with, or you could do it on your own. So just so while I talk about issues, I'm going to be talking about resources at the same time, but at the end, I will come back to that. So when you see the website links, don't get, no, it's all right, that's just how the presentation is. But we have a lot of stuff physically I'll show you as well. And at the end, I will also mention the resources that is free for everyone to take, and you also have an option to sign up to get some resources either via email or physical mail, which is very cool because most organizations don't send physical magazines and newsletters anymore. So I will come into that. So this is with respect to the charitable status issue, and we again will be following up with the government next month. And again, more up-to-date points on this will be on our website. Or of course, if you have any specific questions, you could contact me directly or Pastor Brian, and then I will of course get to you. That was just one example. So the next one I'm going to talk about is medical assistance in dying, which is probably one of the larger ones. So at the moment, medical assistance in dying or euthanasia or assisted suicide, it is legal for people with very serious illnesses or suffering or on their last days or on their deathbed, so to speak. In 2021, a law was passed to expand MAID for persons with mental illness. Now, this we have a lot of issues with that. So the law was actually supposed to be passed much earlier, but it has been delayed to March 17, 2027 for this MAID Act for people who are suffering with mental illness, for them to have the option to end their life. Tamara Johnson is actually a BC MP of Cloverdale Langley, so Langley City, Cloverdale in the Lower Mainland. And she actually introduced a bill called C218 to stop this expansion of MAID for those with mental illness. And she actually just sent in this in, about a month ago. Well, today's July 20th, so exactly a month ago. So the EFC supports MP Tamara Johnson, and we also wrote to the Ministers of Health and Justice last week. So we didn't receive a response yet, but the fact is we are urging support for this bill to ensure that people with mental illness, they don't have that option, or at least not for the longest time in the future, to try to end their life just based on mental illness. We don't think that is a good enough reason, because we always pray for mental health and deliverance. And I mean, sometimes we think that mental health could also be a spiritual battle that we always pray against. So at the bottom where it says the EFC/C218, again, that is just an example. If you go to that web, that will send you the link for the medical assistance in dying. Now, we actually have another, and all these things are outside. We have something called Stop MAID for Mental Illness, and this is actually one you could actually, it says stop the expansion of MAID. So many Canadians are struggling with mental health and are unable to access treatment or support. Please repeal the law that allows MAID for mental illness. And you could actually sign this and send this straight to Ottawa. So these, all these things are outside. So just showing the example of the physical things we have, not just the website. And we also have a brochure outside called Euthanasia in Canada, which basically talks more about MAID. So, and of course, you could get it through there as well. So continuing with MAID, didn't finish, on the international side with the EFC, we, the EFC, also submitted reports to the United Nations about Canada's the MAID laws. We did this in January this year. And in previous years, we've always been advocating against MAID for certain circumstances. The United Nations, they have recommended stopping MAID for those with mental illness and for minors. The government didn't respond as yet. We shared these findings from United Nations with the cabinet ministers earlier this year. And even before that, even going back, it says in 2023, there was a parliamentary report that suggested that MAID could even be made available or eligible for mature minors. Talking about made for people even under 18, if we deem that persons under 18 are capable of making the decisions. Of course, we strongly oppose this, and we wrote to the government about this earlier in 2023, because we don't want made, first of all, to be an option for the most part. I mean, obviously, there might be circumstances, but definitely not for people with mental illness, and definitely not for people under 18. Right, so just talking about certain things we are doing over the last few years. The statistics, so in 2023, over 15,000 people would have died by MAID in Canada. A total of 60,301 deaths of people would have died between 2016 to 2023. And with the research done, the main reasons for people to want to end their life is based on loss of dignity, loneliness, feelings of isolation, feeling like a burden on society, and COVID didn't help either. So just some statistics. So our response, so there were some responses in 2023 by some Christian leaders. They signed a statement called a Declare and Resolve Statement Against MAID, in which they committed to showing Christ's love and to show and to care for the suffering. And of course, we are called to comfort and support those in need as well. And again, the website called the EFC/HaltMAID would have some of these physical brochures, but you could get it online as well. And then it also talks about the MAID for the mental illness, talks more about euthanasia in Canada, and more about youth or issues facing youth. And continuing in MAID, we're going to speak about something called conscience protection and MAID. So this is with respect to healthcare providers who may not want to offer MAID because we have, obviously, we also have Christian doctors and nurses, and that would be against their faith. So in terms of the conscience protection aspect, conscience protection basically means that a doctor or nurses, they not shouldn't be forced to act against their beliefs. Of course, it's especially important when it comes to MAID. Christian healthcare workers should be free to follow their moral and religious convictions. And based on that, the EFC has asked medical regulators to protect the doctors' rights, their conscience rights. So the EFC sent letters to the medical boards of Ontario, Alberta, and Nova Scotia so far, November 22, January 2024, and March 2024. None were sent to BC yet, but it was sent to these three provinces so far, and in those letters, the EFC asked the medical boards that only the patients should be given the option or the opportunity to start the conversation about MAID. The doctor should not give them an option. And we also asked to remove a requirement called effective referrals of patients, whereas a doctor or nurse could refer a patient somewhere else to get MAID. We always want that as last resort, or unless the family or the actual patient themselves want to request it. So there's a bill called Bill C-230. It was called the Protection of Freedom of Conscience Act. It was introduced by a member of parliament called Kelly Block, and this was back in November 2021. So this bill was aimed to protect healthcare workers from being forced to assist with MAID. This would have made it a criminal offense for medical professionals to coerce someone to participate in MAID, but unfortunately, this bill, it was actually defeated in Parliament in October 2022. So even though this bill has been defeated, the EFC continues to they did support the bill when it was done, and they continue to support MP Kelly Block, and they commended her on introducing it, and they continue to promise to engage the government on this matter. So this is also something we continue to look into. And of course, we are asked always to pray for courage and protection for Christian doctors and nurses. And again, this talking to your MP, we'll see there's a common theme or common thread about obviously prayer and then trying to reach out and talk to the MPs or spread the good news. And again, the website will be EFC/C230. That would be where you would get all the information specifically on this. And we just want to continue to support those who stand up for life and faith. And, you know, Christians must never be forced to act against God's word. And we continue to pray for these doctors and nurses and medical professionals who practice their faith. So this is another issue or subset of MAID that we are also dealing with and asking for prayer for. Okay, yes. Another one is, so prostitution. So this one mightn't seem too prevalent, generally speaking, in Canada, but we are still also working on this and trying to keep the prostitution laws constitutional. So there's a case called the Klubakov case that was heard in November 2024, but this was based on two men who worked in an escort business, and they were found guilty and convicted of profiting from organized prostitution in 2021. So this case was heard in 2024, and the men are now challenging these laws and this verdict of guilty, and they are challenging it trying to base the fact that Canada's prostitution laws are unconstitutional right now. So we have in the past, and we continue to defend the laws before the Supreme Court, saying, of course, these prostitution laws are constitutional. And this decision by the Supreme Court is expected by the end of 2025. And of course, we're going to stay to continue to enforce the fact that the current prostitution laws in Canada are constitutional and they shouldn't be changed. They should be kept and withheld in a nutshell. And then even before 2025 and before this, in September 2023, a lower court upheld Canada's prostitution laws to be constitutional. And of course, the EFC has continued to support and reaffirm this ruling. As mentioned before, we believe that the laws are constitutional and should be in full effect. We believe that obviously prostitution is inherently exploitative. It leads to human trafficking. But there is actually an organization called the Coalition of Sex Workers, and they have appealed the decision. So there's another organization now appealing against the prostitution laws. And we have vowed, using the word vowed, that we will apply to speak again and intervene. If there's an appeal by the Coalition of Sex Workers, we are again going to appeal and intervene to try to keep the prostitution law, in simple English. And what we have done so far, we submitted a written report to the United Nations about prostitution and violence against women and girls in January 2024 and January 2025. We have partnered with the Salvation Army, and WEA is called the World Evangelical Alliance, which is what we are part of. And we gave a video statement to the United Nations Human Rights Council in 2024. And we believe that prostitution is a system of violence and exploitation, and the fact that there's a connection between prostitution and human trafficking. Just examples of things that we continue to do. We also submitted a brief to the House of Commons, to the Justice Committee in 2022, even before that, and we arguing that prostitution laws should be kept, and it is constitutional, and it does help to fight sexual exploitation and human trafficking. And we also followed up with the Justice Minister in 2022 to uphold the laws. So basically, even before 2021 and 2022, up to this year, we continue to fight to keep the prostitution laws and the fact that they are constitutional, and the fact that we will also appeal to keep it if other organizations or people come against it, simply put. So what can we do? We always want to pray. We always want to pray for God to protect the vulnerable and to oppose exploitation. We want to continue to uphold these laws so it will help any woman or child abuse and human trafficking. And we just continue to pray, speak up, care for those trapped in prostitution, love people, get to know people that we see that we mightn't even know that they might be faced with not only prostitution, but just things in general. And of course, the resource for that will be the website /prostitution. You would actually get all the information on that as well. And the last one I'm going to touch on. And again, as I mentioned, there are over 20 different issues. I just touched on five. The last one will be the fifth. Is conversion therapy ban. So basically, a ban on conversion therapy. So the laws are saying that conversion therapy applies to any effort to reduce non-heterosexual behavior or attraction. Well, basically any effort. So as a Christian, if you have family or friends who may have homosexual or transgendered tendencies, and of course, we pray for them and we love everyone. If you try to coerce or convince them or pray for them or tell them that God's identity for them would probably be to remain straight or not become a transgender, technically that is called a conversion therapy in the government's eyes. So they want to ban that, where you're not even allowed to have these conversations. So there's a law called Bill C-4 that was passed in December 2021, which would ban conversion, you're not allowed to talk to people like that. It would ban that concept. Of course, this would limit freedom of religion and expression, and this could restrict Christian conversations with family, friends, loved ones about identity and sexuality. So in terms of this concept or this issue, we have worked on every aspect of Bill C-4 before it was unfortunately passed in December 2021. The EFC does agree with the government and those who helped pass Bill C-4 that forced therapy shouldn't happen. So we want to force somebody, you know, we had some bad examples of the church, you know, indigenous and other aspects of church, you know, churches in the world, when you force something and you don't look too good. So we're obviously not pushing to force anything, but at the end of the day, we want to push for changes to protect Christian beliefs and Christians' freedom of speech. So we're also working on this right now. Luckily, no known charges have been laid under this ban so far. So basically, we don't believe anybody got arrested for trying to talk somebody out of identity or sexual orientation, but we continue to monitor the implementation of this law very closely. And of course, we are ready to respond if religious freedom is impacted. So again, this is just us continuing in Ottawa. And of course, our response, we must understand the laws that affect our ability to teach the Bible. It is important to protect both truth and love, and we continue to pray for wisdom, courage, and freedom to share God's design for our physical, spiritual, and psychological identity. And of course, more information is the website /C4. Now, before I continue, because I guess this presentation is going faster than the allotted time, I just want to see what... Okay. So I'm going to just touch on this really briefly. This is just slides that we get, but again, a lot of these things, we have physical resources. So just to show you again, we have stuff on euthanasia or MAID, and we have this postcard that you could send to the MP on mental illness, and all these things are outside, and if you want more, we could get. We have information on, of course, what the EFC does and all that. We also have more information on things that I didn't touch about. So we have stuff on life together, like disability and belonging in the church. And this is outside. We have stuff which I didn't talk about, but it's very, very important, about palliative care. So we have information on palliative care outside. We have a few of those. And if you need anything more, because it's ran out, you could always contact me or Pastor Brian, and we could either physically get it, or you could literally get it from the website as well. But I'm just trying to touch on both. It wasn't mentioned much, but the EFC is also, we also produce the largest distributed Christian magazine in Canada. It's called Faith Today. And this talks about all the latest topics as well. And this is every 2 months, so January, February. So right now we have the July, August edition out. I have put some for the whole year, so from January, February, like a few of them there as well. You actually have the option to get this magazine mailed to you. So there's a sign-up sheet outside that you could actually sign up to get it physically mailed to you. And of course, if you want it emailed, there's a sheet as well. We also have a newsletter called Canada Watch. And this also is every 2 months. And this also speaks specifically on terms of what we're doing in Canada and Parliament Hill and these types of things. And any updates on the EFC, generally speaking. And also, we also talk about the Indigenous, like for example, while I'm seeing this, apparently National Indigenous Peoples Day was June 21st, I'm sure we. But anyway, we have all these things for you to take home. And then there's the sign-up sheet. So again, this is just reminding you all, feel free to take any magazines and resources on the table and smile, yep. So thank you very much for your time, for your consideration. I pray that God continue to bless you all at Bethel Baptist Church, and we love you from your friends at the EFC. Thank you.